And now we're speaking with Robert Allison. Robert, thanks so much for coming right in the studio with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm glad we finally got to it.
It's very much a pleasure for myself and for our listeners. Robert's been on our program before, but you may know him as the co-founder of the Toronto Palestine Film Festival. In fact, he has plans for bringing a similar festival to Hamilton. Wow. He's a former member of the Canadian Boat to Gaza, a member for Hamilton on the Independent Jewish Voices National Steering Committee. It's great to have you here. We have a lot of very fun information for our listeners. We're talking today about the very successful, or staggering success, really, of the Liberation Seder that occurred here in Hamilton just a few weeks ago. And, of course, this is a very special Passover ceremony. And for our listeners who might not have ever attended a Passover ceremony, I was just wondering if you could elaborate a bit on just what that is generally.
Yeah, the Passover Seder, it's a Jewish family celebration with a ritual family dinner, which is a story of the liberation of the ancient Hebrews from oppression in the land of Egypt, is recited. And it goes through a number of phases. And in Hebrew, Seder means order, and it's the order of the meal and the ritual that Jews from all over the world have participated in for centuries. It's customary amongst the Jews to invite guests, both Jewish and non-Jewish, to a Passover celebration. And now our Seder is slightly different. As Jews, we're committed to current liberation struggles, and we enact the ritual in honor of our history of resilience and participation in diverse movements of human emancipation. The ritual of the Seder gives an opportunity not only to examine the legacies of oppression, but also the current suffering that we survive and the current suffering that we perpetuate, often just because we're silent and complicent. And our Seder in particular is, for the last few years, has been devoted to the freedom and liberation of the Palestinian people.
It is very moving to see that. I was present at the one held prior to this year's, and indeed, justice for the Palestinian people, changing our views, understanding oppression was a strong part of that ceremony. So it's incredible that this has been brought forward.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has fascinated me, if I might, I'll just go back and give a bit of history. My wife and I, we had a Seder in Toronto back in 2009, I think, and we were joined by four women who were primarily activists, Jewish activists. And we sat around and we had the Seder and everyone loved it. And the next year, my wife and I, we weren't in the country. But the following year, I said to her, why don't we do something bigger and why don't we invite more people? So we ended up with a Seder with, I think, as 13, 14 people. And we were happy after the Seder to say that we had non-Jews, we had ex-Jews, we had wannabe Jews, we had Buddhists, we had Christians. And so we had this whole variety of people who partook in the Seder and were educated along the way. The other interesting thing was the Jews present, again, these are primarily activist Jews that you would not see take part in a religious ritual. They were very excited to share the Seder, have the discussions with the other non-Jews at the table, and so we had a nice, lively discussion. And I think some of the wine that was being drank throughout the evening kind of helped it along. So then we moved to Hamilton, and we wanted to get to know the community in Hamilton, both the Jewish community as well as the activist community, so We got in touch with the local organization here, the local organizers of Independent Jewish Voices, said, look, we want to have a Seder. What do you think? And we had a Seder in our house, right down the middle of the house, and we had 20, 25 people or something like that. You were there. And again, it was hugely successful. And we had, again, this mix of people. This time we had people from the United Church. We had Jews. We had ex-Jews. We had Christians. We had people that were just interested in finding out the ritual of the Seder. And so this year we thought, well, what are we going to do? Because we keep growing it, we want to keep growing this Seder, because it's a vehicle for not only celebrating some of the I would say more positive aspects of the Jewish culture, that being Judaism, but how are we going to get more people to come and we use it as a tool for educating people who would not be familiar with the issue of Palestine. Every Seder we've had operates around Land Day. It acknowledges the theft of the Palestinian land. Or Passover is usually close to the Nakba. It varies from year to year. But one year we showed B.H. Yale's Der Yashin film to show how people were forced from their homes in 1948. And then we have discussion around that. So we use it as an educational tool. And so this year we thought, well, we can't have it in our house because if we have one more person, we won't be able to fit them. So
yeah, it was pretty crowded, I remember.
Yeah, it was lucky that we had a setting for Elijah and Miriam, and they were the two seats between the sliding doors. And it was just in case they showed up. Thankfully, I don't believe they showed up, or if they did, we didn't know they were there. They didn't take up a lot of space, so it all fitted well. But having more than that, we wouldn't be able to handle in our house, because part of the Seder, for my taste, you have to sit down at one continuous table so that you're one group, not several groups. I think it works really well that way. So we were having a meeting of independent Jewish voices in Hamilton and said, you know, we want to have another Seder, but we want to do it bigger. We're not that familiar with Hamilton. Where might we have the Seder? And it was actually your dad who said, why don't you get a hold of the Palestinian Association of Hamilton? They've got a new facility and you could have it there. And I went home and I told my wife, and I said, but I think he's crazy. I don't know why the Palestinians would want to host a Jewish ritual. And so we went off and asked anyway, and we received the warmest welcome we could expect. And then I'm shameful that I even had the thought that they wouldn't welcome us or that they wouldn't share their...
Well, it's a learning experience for everyone, not just the people that come for the first time, but for the organizers such as yourself. And I think, you know, you've really been opening or broadening the entire experience. That's the sense I'm getting from you. The first ones that you helped or organized were involving Jews and ex-Jews and activists. And that was a very good start. And then in Hamilton, it involved members of the Christian community and other faiths. And then now, at the Palestinian Community Center, you've made it indeed something that Jews, Christians, Muslims, and other faiths can really get together on in a big way. And this was a big organizing effort. So you had 25 people at the first one in Hamilton, and I think you really had to get all the space you could this time. What did you have, 60 or 70 seats?
Yeah, pretty much. But we couldn't have done it. We really, really could not have done it without the tremendous support and help of the Palestinian Association of Hamilton. I mean, just the greatest group of people, and they were right there with us setting up, buying supplies. And to our good fortune, it was a wonderful meeting. The meeting when we went in to discuss it, one of the leaders of their community said, well, yeah, sure, you can have it here. What do you need? And how many people are you going to have? And we said, well, we think we're going to have 50. And he said, how many do you want me to bring? And I said, whoa, 20. And he's done, you know. And what are you going to do for food? And I said, well, we're kind of thinking, well, we think we might have to have it catered this year because it's going to be bigger. And don't worry, I have a cook. It turns out this wonderful Palestinian Israeli cook was in town, actually lives in Hamilton. And his side job is making wonderful meals. And so he just put out a fabulous spread of food, discussed it closely with us so that it remained kosher. Once we made arrangements with him, we didn't worry about it again. He ran with the whole menu and would periodically give us a call and say, don't worry, it's going nice. Boy, am I ever going to make this great meal for you, blah, 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 blah. And so then our thing was, now how do you have a Seder where we were anticipating at the time 70 people? Because the response I was getting in my invites was outstanding, and I started getting nervous that so many people were coming. And so once we figured out the tables, then we need to figure out things like, you can't just have one Seder plate. Now, you know, the Seder plate has all the symbolic items on it, like parsley, horseradish, the horseradish for the bitterness of the struggle. We use roasted beet for symbolic of a lamb's leg. We have, what else goes on it? Olives. We've added oranges for the feminine aspect of it. And we decided what we needed to do was we needed to have several Seder plates. And then that was all an adventure in itself because we didn't have a big budget. So we went out to a thrift shop and bought some platters for a couple of dollars each, and you know, took them home, cleaned them, and brought them up to the center, and then you know, put the various items on them. There were shopping trips to the market. We bought some horseradish root, which is very expensive. Did we roast that or not? I can't remember. But we put a piece of that on each thing, and then there are the beets, and then we needed all these bowls of salted water. We buy 5 dozen eggs, all had to be boiled because of the as you go through the meal and you're eating each of these items, and then something is said around the item. Something said around the item, and then you eat it. You have to talk first, and then you eat it. So then we then arranged the seating that the Jews that were coming to sit near the Seder plates so they could explain and also do the local ritual as conduct the local ritual, I'll say, as we went through the whole program. It was just beautiful. It was, you know, what part of the beauty of the whole thing was we had this time. We expanded the ritual to include, we had a Lutheran minister, we had more United Church people, we had a couple of Unitarians, we had someone from the Anti-Racist League in Hamilton, we had some students from McMaster, we had a bunch of people came in from Toronto. That's really another, you know, really vital point of this whole thing is... The Liberation Seder, as we put it together, is not something that people can get at easily. So as soon as we announced it, there's a lot of excitement that this is actually happening. And the activists, and the Jewish activists in particular, they have a whole sense that they now have a place to go and celebrate one of their, you know, one of their rituals.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, you talk about good fortune. And this was held at the Palestinian Community Center. That only recently opened. And it's thanks to the efforts of activists, especially the Palestinian Association of Hamilton, very dedicated, core-knit group of people, that enabled that space to exist. And because of the continuing activism within the Palestinian community. And then you have groups like Independent Jewish Voices that are looking to reach out to the Palestinian community, to everyone in Canada, to talk about these important issues that until recently have been difficult to discuss. So you have activism, you have pushing by Independent Jewish Voices. You have other activists in the community that are concerned with social justice issues. So they come together. And in this particular case, at the Palestine Community Center, as they say, if you build it, they will come. And it's because of years of outreach building here in the community that an event like this was possible. It was no accident.
We realized that too. And there were the relationships that had already been built. And, you know, I think we sort of came along when we moved to Hamilton. We said, here we have I hate the word product. We have an activity. We have something we want to share with people. And we ran it by some of the members of the community, and they know us from our other activities. And they said, hey, sure, let's do it. And, you know, and it just adds to the community as a whole, being able to have one of these one of these functions, one of these rituals. By the end of it, I'm totally in awe of the Palestinian Association of Hamilton. I mean, really, really, they kind of just blew me away in their generosity, their kindness. Particularly considering, I know there's one gentleman, his family still lives in Gaza. I mean, and I think one of the women. The other thing is, I should mention though, but I went to at work. There's a Palestinian lady, and she introduced herself to me one day because she had recognized me from somewhere, and I spoke with her, and then when Gaza was being bombed, I knew that she had family there, so I went and I apologized to her. It's not my fault, but I apologized to her. I wanted her to know that not all Jews supported this kind of activity, and she was really grateful. And then I thought, when the Seder was happening, I thought, I wonder if she would come to the Seder. And so I asked her, and she brought her daughter.
Yes.
And one of the most touching things for me was that her daughter, who's 16, 17, when we got to a particular part of the Haggadah, what we do is we have people read sections of it, and it's not a one person reading it all. It's totally a group thing. So when we got to the section where we've inserted the 10 plagues of the Palestinians, she read them, and I was really touched that she could read them and I could be there while she read them.
Yes.
And it was so much more powerful, when she mentions the theft of water, the theft of land, the destruction of olive trees, the bombings, on and on. We could have done far more than 10, but we, in keeping with the Haggadah spirit, we had 10 plagues. But that was the kind of participation we had.
It just strikes me that there's people that have been hurt, or their families have been hurt. They've seen suffering. And there's people whose morals have been hurt by what is being done in Palestine, in Israel-Palestine, under certain justifications. And this is a way people can come together around something positive. You know, we're always talking about interfaith dialogue and bringing the community together. And here you actually did it. I mean, you're paving the way.
Yeah, we actually, I think at the end of it, we were saying, this is our world, right? This is the world we live in. This is the world where we had a whole variety of people sitting down, having dinner together, and sharing and commiserating together. And celebrating together, and we—that's our world. It's part of Tikkun Olam. That's where we're at. How can we repair this world that we're in? Because the leaders certainly won't do it. I mean, these Obamas and Netanyahu's and Stephen Harper's—they're not going to repair the world. If anything, they continue to destroy it.
Yes, you speak of repairing the world. As we watch the news every day, we see demonstrations of people, in Spain, in Quebec, whatever the case may be, trying to repair their world or their corner of the world. And you are speaking about an issue that has divided but can also unite people with regard to the so-called Middle Eastern conflict. Although the Seder for you may have been a liberating experience itself, I know it may have involved suffering. You pointed out the good fortune you received meeting the right cook and the right people and getting food to everyone. It still must have been a logistical mess.
No, it's not a logistical mess because I'm the logistics guy, right? This is figuring out how to make these things happen is what I do. And when you've done enough planning events, then you get into a routine. It becomes a logistic nightmare when the people you're working with don't work as a team. And we generally try very hard to pick the right people. I have to say, in this case, picking the right people, they just all happened. We've done that before as well. We're the people just step up, fill the roles, and even in the Seder itself, it's, you know, one of those things where when the meal's winding down, no one is asked to go around and start picking up plates. People just start doing it, you know. That's when you're not really, you don't suffer from logistics. And just a matter of logistics, that by the end of the night, we had a truckload of dishes, foodstuffs, you name it. We had all this stuff we had brought from the house, wine glasses, on and on and on. And someone said, where's your car? Do you need a hand to put it in your car? And we said, well, we don't have a car. We'll have to figure out tomorrow, we'll come and get it. It was late, you know, we'll come again. But all of a sudden, some members of the Palestinian Association, we had four people that started carrying stuff out and putting it in someone's SUV. And the next thing, we were being driven home and all the stuff was being carried into the house. And so it just happened like that. And then we don't, there are no hardships. There's only a celebration of the goodness of people.
People, you know, rise to the occasion. When you set up something good, people, they know what to do and they know how to help. And I have to congratulate you there, because I had heard it went very smoothly, and I just imagined you took care of all the mess in the background. But I guess it ran very well throughout. So that's very impressive. And I know it went well because of the feedback. Everyone I spoke with was immensely pleased with it. So is that the sense you got from people who had attended?
Well, we actually got more feedback than we've ever gotten. And maybe if I can indulge, just to give people, your listeners, an idea of what people were saying. Please accept my congratulations on adding a whole new dimension to the political, social, cultural, religious scene in Hamilton tonight. I enjoyed myself completely. This is another person. You created an amazing environment. I loved the Seder. The food was so good. Really loved it. The mix of people and the atmosphere. I can't say enough. It was fabulous. And shukrun toda, and thank you. And another person said, I was so thrilled that you invited me to the Seder last night. It was the most wonderful experience. I loved meeting people who I have admired from a distance. And I hope to be in contact in with the future. I hope that I changed the perception of the Lutheran chaplain when it comes to the United Church. So there we had a little side religious discussion going on. Last night's Seder was a major challenge and you brought it off handsomely. Of course you had some help, but the concept was yours and you made it happen. I'm not sure what a bigger, better Seder than last night would look like, but I'm sure you're already planning it. Congrats. And we are. We're already thinking about it. It was inspiring to participate in this year's Liberation Seder. The spirit of collaboration and optimism in the face of hardship was tremendous. I am honored. It was truly remarkable event. Thank you to your vision and hard work. Congratulations. So you see when you get this kind of feedback, you're running around, you're buying stuff, and you're putting it all together. And if there are any hardships, as you ask, you go through them. But as I say, there weren't in this case. And then this is the greatest compliment, is when people send you messages back. And I think the one that comment that there were two that really got to me. One person wrote, I was very happy to see you. Indeed, when I first saw you, I wanted to rush over to you and give you a big hug, but I felt nervous. I have had very little interaction with Palestinians in my life, and so when I arrived, I felt I had entered a foreign country. I felt that I had to pass through a border. I began to relax after I got settled, and I had a very enjoyable evening. And then I thought, I later carried on a conversation with this person, and he moved. He moved from being afraid of the unknown. He was afraid of the Palestinians because he didn't know them. All he had heard was this one narrative, or the predominant narrative. And he sat in a room with these wonderful people. you can come to another Seder now and it'll grow. It's a growing experience.
Well, let me just say, you have three of the major groups involved in this issue, the Christians, Jews, and Muslims, and people, as you say, have been scared to walk across the borders. You have Christian people that are frightened to talk about the issue because the way the media presents it, it's this long-standing feud, they hate each other, it goes on since biblical times, and they don't want to wade into it, but you're presenting a place, a space, a sequence, a ceremony that people can get involved in. You have also Palestinians saying, I'd like to learn what Jewish people are thinking and saying about this, but when do they get the opportunity? Now they get the opportunity. And so that is, I think, one of the most enduring aspects of this.
Yeah, I think one of the enduring aspects is really the number of Palestinians that have come up to me over the years and said, I didn't know there were Jews like you around. And thanked me. And sometimes I've done nothing except shown up and said I'm a Jew and I don't agree with the occupation. And they go, wow, this is, you know, unheard of in their world. But then it opens them up a bit. And the final comment I just wanted to say was, you may not realize it, but what you did last night was really important. I cannot stress enough how important it was, what you pulled off last night. And so I slept well that night, knowing that for one moment or one evening, we had this incredible collaboration. What comes out of that then, a thing comes out of that now is that we can now work within Hamilton, the Palestinian Association of Hamilton, and we can do other things. And that's why you mentioned at the beginning of the show that we will bring now to Hamilton the Hamilton Palestine Film Festival, or some variation of it. It's not all together, and I have to speak with my Palestinian friends, and we have to figure out what it is we're going to do, because the films are so tremendously educational in the Middle Eastern situation. I can't say enough about film, and I'm really attached to that idea. And it's also a great forum to have discussion. So tell your listeners out there, look out for the Hamilton Palestine Film Festival, probably in the fall of 2013.
Well, I've seen glimpses of what can be achieved in some of the smaller film screenings in Hamilton and as part of the for example, IJV and also the Israel Apartheid Week events that were involved with MMPJ, Solidarity for Palestinian Human Rights, and other groups. There were film showings there. And I should just mention, on the same week of the Liberation Seder, there were other interesting events as well. There was the Palestinian consul came and visited. There was a demonstration in solidarity with Palestinian hunger strikers, people who were in prison.
I actually participated in that. I was one of the hunger strikers for one of the 24-hour shifts. And I was also at the Land Day event when the consulate came to speak.
It's part of a wave of activity.
A wave of activity. It's good.
Well, it seemed like there was a lot of demand for the Liberation Seder itself within the community, from what I'm hearing. People wanted something like this, and we could see that there could be a lot of demand potentially for this Hamilton Palestine Film Festival. It's another way for people to get out there, learn something new, take a step. Yes. That's what you're doing. You're reaching out. So that's incredible. And there'll be these opportunities. Success breeds success, and there could be another Liberation Seder.
No, there will be another Liberation Seder. It's not could be, will be.
It will be.
Yes.
So if you missed it this time.
Yes, if you missed it this time. Yes.
And I kind of missed this one. Some of us are going to be at the next one, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time to be here right in the studio with us. And this gets out to Hamilton, and it gets out to Canada electronically. So, again, thanks for helping us be informed and more educated at the end of the day as a result of these activities.
Well, thanks for having me.